Okay, there's a lovely wee book, You Know You're Irish When, and it's from Seamus O'Connell, and he joins me on the programme now. Hi, Seamus.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Very good. Some of the most enjoyable things in life are the most simple, aren't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. This really kind of celebrates the simple things that make us Irish, all kind of Irishisms from going back to all the ones, I suppose, we know, like the things like Suda Cream and...
It's Suda Cream.
Suda Cream, sorry.
I just happen to be one of my biggest bugbears is people that call Suda Cream Suda Cream, but go on.
Oh, really? I've been using it my whole life. I even have it on my hand this morning.
It's Suda Cream.
Suda Cream. So I actually have it on my hand this morning because the dog bit me in the first thing into the cupboard just looking for the Suda Cream.
So, well, it fixes everything. Just rub it on.
Everything, yeah. So
I remember being on a ferry over to England when I was much, much, much younger, asking for red lemonade. And the person serving was very, very perplexed. I never realised it was only something really that we get here.
It is, yeah. I suppose growing up as a kid, if you were sick or anything like that, you'd have the flat lemonade was the first thing to come out, or the TK lemonade, you know, would be when I went around my grandparents, it would be a bar of chocolate, would be a dairy milk with the potatoes and the TK lemonade would have been kind of standard treats.
Yeah, we used to have, you'd want 7-Up or something, no harm to TK lemonade, but you know, you'd want a nice bottle of 7-Up, and Mom would land back with like 5 litres of this sugar in water. You know, and you couldn't have the lemonade until you actually drank this stuff. And it was so big, it couldn't fit in the fridge. It would just sit there.
We used to have the Country Spring as well as the other one. We used to have the huge kind of 3-litre Country Spring bottles of lemonade. Yeah, absolutely.
It was so warm because, as I say, it would just not fit in the fridge. But anyway, how did you compile these Irish-isms? I've been flicking through the book and pretty much every one of them sums us up in one form or other.
Yeah, no, I suppose the inspiration for it is that I'm a North Cork man. My wife grew up in North Cork, despite the accent suggesting otherwise. And growing up there, I would have had lots of things, you know, lots of the ideas that have come from there, you know, kind of using the back door instead of the front door and getting stuck behind a tractor, going to school and, you know, all that kind of thing would have kind of inspired the book. But over the last 10 years, I've been kind of working as a writer. I've actually had a book of fiction out previously to this under a different name. And I teach a new CD and I work with O'Brien Press on the publishing committee. So I come up with ideas and develop ideas. And this idea came along. It seems a lot of fun. And when I just went away and wrote the book, what tended to happen with these, I'd come up with 20 in a burst and then I wouldn't be able to come up with one for another 2 or 3 weeks. And all of a sudden something would trigger and you'd come up with one about food and then there'd be 10 or 20 in a row again. So it's kind of these kind of bursts of kind of memories would come to me from the past, from the kind of, the ones that were quite obvious and immediate that came to me, things like the Barry's Tea and because I'm a Cork man living in Dublin, so the Barry's and Lyons division that kind of happens there is quite strong, and I have friends in Dublin that whenever we go into a cafe, I'd be like, oh, I love a cup of tea, and you know, I'd always ask the waitress, oh, is that Barry's Tea now? And you know, if it wasn't, I'd probably turn it down, you know. So and I actually had a friend of mine did an old test on me once because they were like, oh, you're just ridiculous on the tea thing, I was having a cup of tea at a friend's house one time and then they were like, what tea is that now? And they wouldn't let me know what it was. And I took a sip and I was like, it's Barry's, but it's not the gold blend, it's the green blend. And
oh, that's just ridiculous.
Cute.
If you were right, that's ridiculous.
And I was right. It was great.
Well, some of them, you can flick every single page. There's one, as you mentioned, the back door to your home was the front door. Your first kiss was at the Gaeltacht. I think that'll resonate with a lot of people. Every dinner you ate as a child was boiled. Boiled cabbage, boiled bacon, boiled...
You know, I don't think it's still in the cupboard at home now. It's a pressure cooker. I don't even remember if pressure cookers were the thing. And that's the one thing people have said to me since. Do you know what? My mother still has one of those pressure cookers sitting at the back, you know, on the back of one of the cupboards, you know, and everything kind of had just a kind of a non-taste. I just kind of remember as a child, kind of the boiled dinner coming out and you'd have the cabbage and the potatoes next to it mashed. And I'd kind of try to mash the cabbage into the potatoes and put a bit of ketchup through the potatoes, try and hide it, you know?
Yeah, brown sauce was mine, but...
Brown sauce, yeah.
You've been told, everyone's been told to stop acting the maggot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Plenty of times, yeah. So there's the mix of the older ones and I suppose some of the newer ones that I wanted to add in, kind of the Irishness that I remember from kind of my college years, kind of early 2000s, you know, kind of eating the breakfast roll from Centra, which was kind of my standard dinner, probably for 4 nights a week when I was 21 or 22, you know, and going to Australia, doing the acting the maggot for want of a better word, in Australia, you know. I had great plans to go to Australia when I was there to kind of hang out with the Australians, but of course you fall in with the Irish immediately, and, you know, the stories are true, unfortunately.
Your grandchildren used to, your grandparents used to give you emerald caramels as a child. You didn't like the chocolate, but the toffee inside was delicious. That's so true, you know. I hated the chocolate.
I hate it. It was just such an artificial, it wasn't a good chocolate, you know. It wasn't like a Dairy Milk chocolate, yeah. And the other one as well for me is certainly from my memory is my Nana having Silverman beside the bed, because my Nana had quite bad arthritis, so she was quite often in bed. But I always remember going into her room as a young child, and, you know, kids would automatically see the sweets in the room. And she always had sort of three, I never knew why she had three unopened packets. It was never one packet of Silverman. So she had three beside the bed with her glasses, you know, with the kind of chain wrapped around them, and she'd be eyeing them away. And it was kind of such a ritual. I always feel like it was almost like a communion to go in there and get your Silverman off Nana, you know? So. But since I put that out, my cousins went, oh, God, I remember that exactly, you know. So sometimes whenever I see Silverman's now, it's like it's Nana, and it's, you know, it's 20 years ago, you know.
So. After this is, I mean, we're fascinated with deaths and the obituary notices on radio. They're an institution. But you've also written in here that after you turn 40, you find yourself buying the local papers for the deaths.
Oh, absolutely. My granddad had the Avenue, and I can actually see my cousins. Some of them are just turning 40 now at the moment, and they're starting to buy the local paper. I'm like, oh dear, it's inevitable. So
Well, when the obituaries come on here, you can hear the shushing in every house in the Northwest. The obituaries are on. Whist!
Yeah,
exactly. But I've been at a wake where, I've actually been at a wake where the person, lovely old person who'd had a fantastic life, and it wasn't necessarily a very morbid kind of a wake, but we all had to be quiet when the radio was turned up to listen to the obituary notice of the person that was whose wake we were attending.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's
you can stick that in your next book. So they're a funny old thing. They are a funny old thing. And I think a lot of us who have been to a funeral, you've got one in here of a funeral of a person that you don't know. I've been to two funerals where the person I thought I was attending the funeral for actually turned up walking around the place. I mean, these things do happen.
Well, I think I grew up in that village thing where you just went to the funeral, you know, even if it was, you know, you'd never heard of, you know, the whole village turned up to a funeral. I'm from Ballyhooly in North Cork, and, you know, it's kind of a standard thing, you know. Everyone sort of got a big funeral because everyone kind of went to it, so yeah. And obviously, like, on the front of the book, you can see that sandwich that is the image of...
The hang sandwich.
Me, which is the hang sandwich, which is like funeral fare, you know. You kind of go back afterwards for your tea and your sandwich, you know. So.
It's good fun. It's a nice little book. It's, you know, there's no reading in it. It's literally just one little Irishism after another on each page. And as I said right at the very start, sometimes the most simplest things are the most enjoyable.
Yeah, no, well, my sister's in Dubai, and she's like, and I sent it to her, and she's like, oh, it's just great. The feeling of home she got off, it was lovely, you know. So I think that's definitely... You know, and if you have any kind of relative abroad, I think that's the kind of thing they'd appreciate, something like that. You know, they kind of read it and get a sort of memories of times past, you know.
Can you get, what was I going to say? Where can you get the book is what I was going to ask you.
It should be everywhere now, either Easton's or I'm trying to think of the Northwest. Foremasters and places like that will definitely have it, or any good bookshop will have it, definitely. It should be everywhere now. On the shelves. I know Easton's and all that. I've taken a look locally, had a little nose in as the author, you know, to see what's there. So it should be in every bookshop, really. So, yeah, and if it's not on the shelf, just ask. I'm sure they'd order it in.
I'm sure they will, Seamus. Good.
Brilliant.
Man. Thank you so
great.
Much.
Thanks a million.
It's been a pleasure chatting to you. Seamus O'Connell, cracking wee book there. Kathleen Grant in Burt is guilty of pseudocreme. Here's a lady from Burt that always asked for pseudocreme. Took Highlander Radio to put me right. It's pseudocreme, of course, Kathleen. No, it's a good, fun little book. And there's some, I think pretty much anyone who reads through it will see stuff that resonates with them and their childhood. It's called You Know You're Irish When. It's from Seamus O'Connell. It's a tiny little book, but lots of fun. Now, Barry J. Hughes, singer-songwriter, joins me in studio now. Barry, how are you?
Good, Greg. How are you?
Is it Barry J. or Barry?
Either is good, but I prefer Barry J.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
When it's double-barreled, I can normally work out the second half, but, you know, if it's double-barreled the first half, it gets a little bit confusing. So tell us a bit about yourself. You're from Monaghan, is that right?
I'm from Carrick and Cross in South County Monaghan, and I'm a singer-songwriter. And I'm just currently touring the country, just promoting my music and my name. And I just thought I was up this way today, so I thought I'd call in. And
brilliant. Great to have you in. Are you gigging up here?
Yeah, I'm actually gigging, doing a set in the at the Letterkenny Artisan Market over the other side of town later on this afternoon.
Nice one.
So I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
So how have things been going for you then? You know, obviously, as you say, you've taken to the road to get your stuff out there. You're using the usual platform, SoundCloud and iTunes and all that type of stuff. It's taken off for you.
It has, yeah. I released the EP called This Way Up back in April, and since that I've just been working hard. It's been going really well. The gigging is going really well. And I've done a lot of stuff on radio, and thankfully the EP has been played a lot throughout the country. Mm. So it's really good, and I'm really enjoying it, actually, yeah.
Because you do have to put the footwork in. That's the modern music.
Yeah, but I love it. I just love the travelling part of it, actually.
Yeah. Do you do it on your own?
I do, yeah. I don't drive, so I have to get buses.
You're such a musician.
Yeah.
Walking around with your guitar in your back.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only thing you're not doing is coming, I would say, is it?
Yeah, well, I'd say my mom is listening. She's listening in back in Monaghan. She's very probably good. Laughing, but she does a lot of the driving, and dad as well. So
yeah.
They help me out when
that's
I need
it. That's what you need,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Now, I see on your Facebook page, St. Peter's Tin Church. What was that about?
That's St. Peter's Tin Church is an old church 10 minutes from my hometown out the country. And I've known about it for, say, the last year or so. And I took a spin out there with a friend recently, and I just decided I wanted to do a gig in it.
Yeah.
It's a really, really, it's a small, you know, old church, and it's just in the process of being renovated.
To a church? Or
No, back to, there's a local heritage committee,
right,
and
okay,
they're bringing
very good.
It kind of back to what it was.
Yeah.
No electricity, no heating, and kind of I set a date for the gig kind of 4 weeks kind of down the line, and I just decided I'm just going to go for it. So I have a backing band as well that I use from time to time, so they came down and we did a really cool gig there. It was about 60 people. It was a full house of 60 people, you know, and it was really, really good. With candles and, you know,
great acoustics.
Yeah, really good acoustics, and the whole setting around it, it's just, there's a lovely stream around it. It's, people were describing it as magical.
Yeah,
you know, and for me it definitely was. So I have a couple of videos actually online of that gig, so they're definitely worth checking out.
So you can check out Barry J. Hughes, Google him or put it into your Facebook search and I'll come across that. It's good that you got it captured on video.
Yeah, that was the last minute decision, actually. I texted a friend of mine, and I had seen some of the work he did before, and I said, would you be interested? And he said, yeah, and what I got from it, the product I got from him now, I was really happy with, so there's more to come as well.
Excellent. And that building, far removed from here, is it going to, like, would yours be one of the only gigs ever there, or are the plans to sort of have it as that type of a venue down the line?
The Heritage Committee want to have it as that type of venue, you know, down the line. I was the first one to do a gig there, so I kind of opened their eyes as to what can be done in such a small space with very little facilities, you know. Mm. So they were delighted with the whole thing, and I'm meeting with them shortly to kind of discuss what they can do and what they need to do to approach maybe different artists or, you know, different promoters.
Because it's a different type of gig you're selling, because it's a max crowd of 60. Maybe it could be extended somewhat, but it's an intimate crowd.
It really is, yeah.
You know?
And it would suit maybe a certain type of artist or a certain type of band, you know. Mm. But definitely if there's any bands listening in or any local Donegal bands or acts, it's definitely worth checking out Lara Heritage.
So where do you see yourself going, or what do you see yourself doing? I mean, is it to keep the slog going? Are you looking to get on the festival circuits? Do you feel your music suits that kind of
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I did a few festivals this year, but next year I'm going to do a bigger push for more slots in the festivals. Mm. I have some recording time booked for January in Sun Studios in Dublin, and possibly release a second EP. Maybe I'm thinking about maybe doing a 12-month, you know, 1 year later type of thing.
Cycle, yeah.
Yeah, and just doing another EP in April of next year.
Excellent. And do you like performing on your own? I know you mentioned you have a backing band, a band that can play with you when is required, but do you prefer it just you? And
I like both. I'm used to playing on my own. So the buzz with the band then is like a bonus for me, you know, when we get together. Because I have a cello, violin player and baron, whistle and flute. So it's a kind of an eclectic mix.
Mm.
But it lends itself well to my songs and my sound. So, I do like doing it on my own as well, yeah.
Okay. Are you going to sing us something?
Would you like me to?
I would love you to.
Okay. I'm going to sing a new song
Are you sure that guitar's up to it? We had Emerald guitars in a little earlier on. This one's got a ventilating hole.
Yeah, I'm so glad you didn't see this. No, it's very much up to it. It goes everywhere.
Okay. I'm only messing.
This is a song written about a visit to Kilkenny. I've no songs about Donegal just yet.
Okay.
But maybe after today I will. So this is called Medieval City. Cannons roaring, barflies hopping, the tower bell rings out over the pump house. Still they crawl the streets and try to raise the dead. Chats and tunes and dance, just why they came. Tell me your story, I got a window I can fill. Drop the cannon, it's time to kill. Call the butler, it's time for a revamp. King of the castle does it again. From the fords of the water, yeah, yeah, to the medieval city. Blue skies, great escapes, abandoned streets of stone. Chitter chatter, the doors ajar, you're welcome, feel at home. The rumble of bass beneath, the warm hum of harmony. It's hard to choose which way is best, which way to go. Tell me your story, I got a window I can fill. Drop the cannon, it's time to kill. Call the butler, it's time for a revamp. King of the castle does it again. From the fords of the water to the medieval city. If this is royalty, should I take a bow? Take a sip from the cup as the cream rises to the top. As it rises, rises to the top. Tell me your story, I got a window I can fill. Drop the cannon, time to kill. Call the butler, it's time for a revamp. King of the castle does it again. From the fords of the water, yeah, yeah, to the medieval city.
It's lovely sound. Where would you say your influences are from in that?
Influences generally would come from musicians and artists such as Glenn Hansard, Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder, Damien Rice, Wallace Bird, you know, mostly Irish kind of artists, which is what I try to listen to most of the time. But I grew up listening to like heavy rock and like Guns N' Roses and all that sort of stuff. So I have influences coming from every side.
Best of luck to our cousin Barry J. Hughes from your Donegal cousins Anita, Julie, Harry and Lewis.
Yeah, nice.
Sorry we can't see you today.
That's okay, that's cool. Hi guys, thank you.
Okay, so they're listening. Are you going to do one more for us, are you?
I will do one more if you want me to, yeah.
Do you have to retune?
No.
Good. Let's do it then. Why not? Sure, while you're up. Okay. Before you do, tell us about this gig again, though. So you're in Letterkenny this afternoon, did you
yes,
say?
Yes, I'm going straight there when I finish with yourselves.
Excellent.
And I'm doing a set from, I think, roughly 12 until half two or three.
Nice.
And
Where is it?
It's the Letterkenny Artisan Market, like food and craft market.
Okay.
And I want to say thanks to Maria McCormick, if I am allowed to do that, for getting me the gig. So shout out to her.
Superb. Right, what's next?
I think I'll sing a song called Crying Shame.
Lovely.
Yeah. Goes like this. The window paints a picture. A thousand words I'm hearing right now. Open one to let me hear. Open more to let me scream out. I'm not over you. I'm not over you. I'm not over you. I know all your faces. Miss your snow white skin in the summer. Hear your laugh, love your eyes. But you used them when you said goodbye. I'm not over you. I'm not over you. You criticize, I'm sick of hearing you. Every time I slip up, I make a point of telling you I'll get over you. I'll get over you. Cold has brought you back. Sunlight taken by the shadow. I hear your name. I'm calling, I'm calling, I'm calling. One, two, three, four.
Jay, thanks so much for that. Loads of people texting in to say great voice. Veronica, heard you in Dublin and Monaghan live. Great performer. Love your show. That's for me, not you. But thanks, Veronica. We're getting love from both of us, all, Barry Jay.
That's
not nice, isn't
from
it?
The two Hugheses.
Exactly, yeah. Who'd have thunk it? Right. Thanks so much for doing the
Thank
two
you.
For us.
No
and
problem.
Best luck with that gig
Thank
down at the
much.
Artisan Market.
Can't wait, actually. I'm looking forward to it.
And hopefully we'll see you back up here. On Facebook, Barry J. Hughes, you can search you out too. Your EP is available
on iTunes and Google Play. And if you want a hard copy, you know, get in touch with me. I'll send it out, no problem.
You can message through Facebook. And check out the videos too of that performance.
Of St. Peter's Tin Church, Barry J. Live. I'm releasing a series of live videos between now and Christmas.
Listen, Barry J, thank you so much, and
you.
Enjoy your stay and safe onward journey.
Thank you very much.
Gillian Kennedy, hi.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you so much for coming into studio. How are you?
I'm very good. How
You're
are you?
Stuck between two mics.
I'm stuck between two, yeah. I wasn't sure.
Very good. Now, you're the coordinator with Youth Reach, and Youth Reach is celebrating quite a milestone, isn't it?
The Letterkenny Youth Reach here in town is celebrating its 25-year anniversary this year. Much like yourselves, aren't you 25 years this year too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
so,
right.
So we have a lot of events planned for next week to kind of kick off our 25-year anniversary.
Tell us about the work of Youth Reach.
Well, Youth Reach is a national programme, Greg. It's it exists really to support young people between the ages of 15 and 20 who have left school early with little or few qualifications, formal qualifications. Very often the formal secondary school structures just don't suit a lot of young people, and when they fall away from school, they sometimes feel a bit lost, like there's nothing available for them. But Youth Reach is there to support young people in a training, education and personal development style programme.
Some people just do not apply themselves the same way as other people do, or not academic, but it's not necessarily in reflection on their skill set or their ability. It's just the structures that the majority of people are in just does not suit them, And without the likes of Youth Reach, sometimes if you're not in school, you're a failure, which you're not.
Well, you know what?
Do you know,
Greg,
what I mean by that?
That is exactly it. Mm. People just learn at a different pace and at a different time. And sometimes people have a lot going on in their own personal life, and perhaps, you know, they're just not fully at themselves. Yeah. They're not working at 100%. So maybe school at that time in their lives isn't just working for them, or, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why people come to Youth Reach, and it's been a joy to be in the programme for me anyway since 2006.
Because you get to see the fruit of the work as well too, and see how people progress in an alternative setup.
Very much so. I mean, sometimes you don't get to see the fruits of your labours, you know, just right away. But it can take a couple of years, and sometimes it can take until the young person has left the programme, mm-hmm. and then they come back a couple of years later and they'll see you and they'll say, you know what, I really felt let down in school, but when I came to Youth Reach, I just loved it, and I blossomed so much.
And it's, they were fantastic. Able to build on the foundations that you help set. So how are people referred to Youth Reach, or how do you engage with people? Because you don't want 16-year-olds that go, oh, I don't want school, I think I'll try Youth Reach either. Do you know that sort of way, mm-hmm. I presume? So mm-hmm. how is that all done to make sure it's the right fit for the right people with you guys?
Well, very often young people who are struggling in school are referred to us by the homeschool liaison worker in the schools. Maybe the principal or deputy principal has a word with them and tells them to come and have a word with us. We'll have people come in to check out the building. A lot of the time young people are out of school already, you know, they've been out of school for maybe a couple of years, and they're only just finding out about Youth Reach, and then they decide to come and have a look at the building and the centres around the county and check it out and see that it's actually much more suitable for their learning needs.
It's a 40 place centre now. Is that enough to match demand? Is it about right? Because it has grown from, what, 20, 25 previously?
Well, you're right. When the centre first started out, it was a 25-place centre. And I suppose over the years, we have realised that the demand was greater than the number of places available. But I think we're about right for now. 40 places is good for us. The schools, Greg, thankfully, have evolved a lot over the years. And they are trying a lot more creative mm-hmm. ways of teaching, and maybe even the subjects that are on offer. And that is appealing a lot more to young people, you know. But I suppose there will always be, for those young people, even at that, you know, maybe the classroom sizes are too big, or, you know, the school itself, maybe they might feel a little bit lost within the school system. And that's why I think a programme like Youth Reach is great, because
when you fall out of the system too, you can sort of go into a spiral, you know, can't you? Like where you feel, you know, where you don't have that structure of school. So what do you do then? Do you stay in bed? Do you get up? Do you walk around the town? What do you know what I mean? And you can sort of feel a little bit lost, I presume. Because we do need structure in life, most of us do, and Youth Reach does help with that aspect of it as well, I presume.
You know, it's interesting that you should say that, because one of the things that we've been doing as part of our 25-year celebrations is we've been putting together a specially commissioned DVD, and we've been talking a lot to past learners and our current learners, and one of the things that we've been asking them is, you know, what was life like before Youth Reach? Yeah. And a lot of them have said exactly that. They were just lying around, they were in their beds, they were bored.
What's the
actually
point?
Boredom is the word that most of them use a lot of the time. Then they come to Youth Reach and their, you know, their life does change. It's life changing.
Excellent. So what's happening next week then to mark the anniversary?
Well, next week on Tuesday, we're kicking off with a community coffee morning on Tuesday.
That's so for everyone, is it?
It's for everyone.
And does it help people understand what Youth Reach does?
Yeah, we want to kind of open up the centre to people, invite them in. You know, we have fantastic facilities down there in the centre for cooking and all the practical subjects, arts, crafts, woodwork, you know, as well as the ICT and the general classroom facilities. So we want to make best use of those facilities and get some people in from you know, the general public, and offer them a coffee morning. And our young people ourselves will host that. And then on Wednesday, we're going to do our own centre awards. So every year, you know, like I say, they accredit a training that the young people go through. So in the summertime there, anybody who's achieved certification in their awards will be handed out their awards. And actually, we're very delighted to have Conal Gallen come to do that for us.
Oh, very
so
good.
Yeah, I know he's a favourite here with Highland Radio. So
some
he's
of
coming.
Us. Yeah. Joking
indeed. But you don't want to make too many enemies, Greg. But anyway,
I'm not making enemies, Greg. I'm only joking. He's great.
But he'll be with us on Wednesday. to hand out some awards. So really looking forward to that. I'm sure he'll have plenty of stories and jokes for us on Wednesday.
Yeah, lifts the spirit of the whole thing as well.
Absolutely.
He's such a pro.
He definitely is. And then on Thursday, we've got the Countywide MasterChef. Now, this is a competition that's actually been running for a couple of years, but this year we're going to make a bit more of a fuss here in Letterkenny on account of it being our 25-year anniversary. We always host it now in our centre, as I say, because we have specialist facilities in our centre. And we have judges. The newly appointed ETB chair, Bernie Mulhern, will be there. Your very own John Breslin will be there to judge it. And also Ian Orr, you know, Michelin trained chef Ian Orr from Browns here in the golf club. So we'll have these three chefs to judge the most amazing cooking. Like, you could not imagine the talent that is there within all of the youth reach centres in the county. Mm. Each centre has its own in-house competition.
Yeah, this is not necessarily directed at youth reach, but there's an obsession in, for some reason, that, you know, if you don't go on to college and if you don't become a medical student or if you don't become a computer programmer or a scientist or something, that there is some sort of you know you're not achieving in that manual labor and skills like woodwork, metalwork are not skills, which they are, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's almost seen as if it's you know, they call this, there's a phrase that I hate, like skilled labour.
Yes.
Or up high skilled stuff and all this kind of stuff. Presuming that because, you know, that you can program a computer, that means you're high skilled versus someone who isn't. Do you know? And I just wish we could get away from all of that sort of, like, you know, because this whole country is built by people.
Absolutely.
Who are labelled as, you know, do you know where I'm coming from? It's really just something that annoys me.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Highly skilled can be anything. Highly skilled can be just highly skilled in the
cooking.
Art of conversation.
It's just when you were talking there about high quality food, you know what I mean? It could be something like that. Not necessarily, you know, it's great that Randox and everyone can work for them and all this, that and the other, but high skilled is not always, you know.
We have amazing talent in our centre between our young people who are very interested in culinary skills and chefing. We have artists, we have, you know, brilliant dressmakers, we have people who excel on the computers, fantastic writers, we have people who are great in horticulture and craft and that kind of thing. It really amazes me, the talent that the
creative
that the young
minds
have.
As
very,
well.
Very creative.
Right, listen, it's been a real interesting insight.
Our big day, though, Greg, is the Friday.
I was just about to do this. Go on.
Yeah, Friday's our big day, our big alumni day, Friday morning. It's our morning of celebration. We are inviting back, I guess, all of our past graduates, our alumni, their parents, families, past staff.
The Hall of Famers.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, what we've done down in the centre is we've dedicated an entire wall to the Youth Reach family tree. So up until now, we've had people come in, paint their hand and slap their hand on the wall, you know, in place of tree leaves, and then sign their name. So it's actually looking really, really nice. We've even had Minister Joe McHugh down to slap his hand on the wall because, believe it or not, he is a previous Youth Reach employee.
Excellent.
Yeah, before he moved on to his life in politics. So we've got a lot going on next week and it's very exciting times for us. And this is only really the start of a year long of celebrations to mark.
Well, thank you for coming in and in some way launching it, at least here on Highland Radio. People can get more information about the events by...
People can get more information about any of the events. And really, we are calling on anybody who's had any association with the centre over the last 25 years to call in. Call in next week. We'd be absolutely dying to see you. We're really, really enjoying hearing the stories from people. So we're 91-225-85. Or you can find us on Facebook, Donegal Youth Reach, or you can email us, letterkennyyouthreach@donegaletb.ie.
Hi, Breezy, how are you?
Greg, what about you?
I'm not so bad. What about you?
How could you not be in good form on a beautiful day like this?
Good stuff, Breezy. Listen, we're baking bread for peace. What's this about?
yes, the 24th of October is International Bake Bread for Peace Day. Greg, the world is in chaos. You know, every time we switch on the television, it's more bad news, more horror. And last year, I wakened in the wee hours of the night, or the small hours of the morning, should I say, couldn't get back to sleep. And she, you know, the cure-all for everything, sling on the kettle. And while I was waiting on the kettle to boil, Greg, I turned on the telly. Now, I hadn't heard the news for months, deliberately, because it just brought a heaviness on me every time I heard it. And that morning was no different. It was just one horror story after the other. So when I switched it off and came in to make me tea, I noticed the heaviness that was on me. And fear, Greg, fear. Because despite the fact that it seems to be happening thousands of miles away, I tell you what, it doesn't belong spreading. And the dis-ease is spreading like wildfire. And it could be on our doorstep before we know it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So how does this tie in to you getting involved then in Baking Bread for Peace?
Well, I remembered in those wee hours, as I say, when the fear and the heaviness came on me, I remembered that breaking bread together is a universal sign of peace. And I figured that there must be more people in the world who feel the way that I feel, you know, helpless.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do something, but what can you do? And it just dawned on me that that is something we could do together to show that we, the Joe Soaps on the street, we're tired of this conflict. We're tired of war. We're tired of people suffering. We're tired of children being exposed to things that children just shouldn't be exposed to. Women being forced to survive in circumstances that a woman shouldn't have to be, you know, to be in. Mm. So I posted on my Facebook page, my own personal Facebook page, a wee message just about what my experience that morning. And Greg, the response I got encouraged me and led me to create International Baked Bread for Peace Day.
And it's not—it's a concept, or it's it's not an organisation. It's not a charity. It's
no.
How would you describe it?
It's how would I describe it? It's a community, a large community.
And you took to the road, didn't you, with your dog Sheila?
I did, yes, I did. An attempt to share the idea and to enroll more people, I took to the road now in early May and I travelled around Northern Ireland baking bread for peace. And in return for a night's lodgings, I shared an evening baking, singing, telling stories with families, with individuals, with groups.
How did you encounter people, though? I mean, were you walking up the street and... How, give us an example of how one night would have come to pass.
Well, now, Greg, it was a lot simpler than that. When I put the idea up on the Facebook page, you know, that I wanted to take to the road to share the idea and in return for a night's lodgings, I got a lot of invitations.
I get you.
To call by. Now, on the course of tying up those wee dots, if you like... I met others who invited me. You know, just from talking to people in the streets, meeting people at other evenings that I hosted. You know, so I mean, I still have a list of people that want me to call by them. But you know, my intention, and this is going to be an ongoing thing. You know, the International Baked Bread for Peace Day on the 24th. It's I suppose to highlight. The cause, because it is it
and the symbolism of the breaking bread. But how do people get involved? Are you suggesting maybe they call around to the neighbours with something they've baked, invite people around, or how do you envisage people taking part in this day?
Well, there's all sorts of ways of taking part, but yes, it's as simple as to mindfully bake a loaf of bread or a batch of scones or a cake. You know what, to mindfully do it on the day, to clear. You know, Greg, we're inundated, our heads rarely get time to rest. You know, they're rushing, our minds are rushing all the time. And just what I'm encouraging is that clear an hour, 2 hours on that day, mindfully bake a loaf, a scone, whatever comes to mind. And yes, share it. I mean, last year there were all sorts of different things. People created events.
Okay.
You know, they did it individually. There was some people who went out onto the streets and shared bread. You know, it can happen. It's how you like. And what, I suppose, to register our support for peace, I'm asking that people take a photograph of their creation on the day and post it onto the Baked Bread for Peace Facebook page.
Or you can email you breezy.willow@hotmail.com.
Yes, yes. Greg, I'm going to ask you something.
Briefly.
What must you break apart in order to bring a family together?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I would get it, bread. But I don't have the time. Bread.
Okay. It's that simple, Greg. Listen, thank
we'll not include the sliced stuff then, so. Listen, thank you so much, Breezy.
Okay,
I appreciate
thank you, Greg. Have a good weekend.
You too. Okay, that's where we have to leave it on the programme. It'll be online, available for you to listen back to very shortly. Stay tuned. Peel McCann is with you just after the news with Donal Kavanagh at 12. Thank you to everyone who took part in the programme, everyone who listened, wherever you are today. And also thanks to Marion Potts, who put the programme together. For me, Greg Hughes, enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy this weather while it lasts. God bless.
DFS Letterkenny stock clearance sale ends today. You'll get the biggest discounts ever on all sofas and all beds. Only at DFS stock clearance sale Letterkenny. Absolutely everything is reduced. DFS, don't miss out.